Back on the table, I printed out a prophecy that was said by Randall Greer when I was down in March. And really it was a fulfillment of the thing that the Lord spoke to me twice about before going, that the Lord had spoken to me. And really this prophecy was a verification. See, it's one thing, it's like today in the church world, one of the problems we have is the majority of the church world does not believe in the prophet's ministry for today. Now, the Bible says that Jesus gave the prophets ministry in the book of Ephesians, but the church generally don't believe that. Most Christians don't believe what, you know, they say we believe the Bible, but, I mean, that's more talk than anything, is the prophets ministry. And the prophets ministry is a wonderful ministry because it is a verification ministry. There's many things through the prophets ministry I've learned over the years that God has dealt with me with, and the prophet comes along and speaks something exactly in line with what God has been dealing with me. You know, many people are trying to get, you know, a verification of things and are running around trying to do it in all kinds of different ways. Most people want a verification by sight and not by faith. They always want it by sight. You know, I'll know that God said yes if it happens. Well, that don't mean nothing. That's one of the worst. If your faith is built on your sight, well, it ain't faith at all. It has nothing to do with faith. It's not, but we believe, hallelujah, when we don't see. You know, there's a Jesus I never saw, and I believed on him, and he saved me. Then I saw it, but I didn't see that salvation come to my life till I believed it before I saw it. Hallelujah. That's the way it works. That's the way faith works. You know, and we need to understand it and the power of it. And when I was down there, the Lord had spoke to me before I went to those meetings down there. The Thursday before, I had been spending that week a lot of time in prayer. And I'd been praying concerning our nation and things going on in our nation. And while I was praying, I had said to you folks about that. While praying, the Spirit of God came on me and I had a vision. And in that vision, I saw what was happening, you know, concerning the condition of our nation and also the condition of the church world as a whole. And the Lord showed me the way things were, and he showed me in that vision that really the barrenness of America spiritually is a barren nation. But then he showed me that the church is barren also, that the church has not come into the presence of God. And in the way that the church is walking today and Christians are walking, they can't get into the presence of God. They can't do it. They're not following Bible principles. They're religious in their beliefs. They're doing their own thing. And the Lord showed me that. Well, you would think, well, God would give up. I mean, we're in this condition, you know, we're done. But I began, because when I saw it, it just sort of, it broke my heart. You know, you look at, and you see, most people are waiting, to watch Fox News or Newsmax or something like that to find out how bad things are. And, you know, they're doing it that way, but you know, the Lord showed me the condition, but when I began to pray for the nation, cause I just started crying out to God concerning our nation and the church, you know, the mess that we're in. And the Spirit of the Lord came on me, and I realized I've had this happen numbers of times in my Christian walk, and I've had numbers of times that you get over and start to pray sometimes, and the Spirit of prophecy comes on you, and you start to pray by the Spirit of prophecy. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to covet to prophesy. That's another thing that the church don't believe in. They don't believe in those things because it's Bible. We have a Christianity we preach today. We have a Christianity that's been made by America. And the church follows that Christianity. It's based on men's beliefs and not on the beliefs of the Bible. Well, that anointing came on me and I began to pray for our nation. And I realized, it's one thing, when a gift goes into operation like that, lots of times, this is not something that happens out of your mind. It ain't your mind. It's out of your spirit. It comes out of your inner man. And your mind isn't operating over in it. Your mind's not doing it. And I'm thinking the whole time my mind's going on and I'm listening to what's coming out of my spirit. Words are coming out of my mouth and not out of my mind, but they ain't coming from my mind. And I'm thinking, boy, the compassion and the love that God has for this nation and for the church, it was phenomenal. I'm thinking, God hasn't given up. But many Christians have. They've already thrown in the towel and they're talking like everything's going to go under in the end. And they're going in that direction, but God don't have that opinion. This is why we have going on what we have going on today, because most people, they're watching the news and listening stuff. They're praying moved by the news. They're prayed moving by what they see with their eyes. They don't talk to God and find out His opinion. You know? I mean, go read the Bible. I mean, go read the Bible, you know, about, if you go read Isaiah 62 and God's heart cry for the nation of Israel. And you look at that thing and you think, here's a nation that rejected Him. But in the end times, He's speaking. His heart is out after them, man. He ain't quit. The only people that quit's the church. They quit. Hallelujah. Well, I ain't quit. But in praying those things, as I was praying along and all of a sudden my praying shifted, I didn't shift it, it all of a sudden shifted to the meetings that I was going to down in Gatlinburg. And in that praying, and I was all of a sudden out of my mouth came a number of times, great breakthrough, great breakthrough. There will be a great breakthrough in these meetings, a great breakthrough. And it just kept coming, that kept coming. And over I said it, those words. And then, that was on a Thursday. That was Thursday night, and that took place, you know, somewhere really in the early hours of the morning of that Friday. And then on Saturday night, I had been up and I had been spending time with the Lord concerning Sunday, you know, the message on Sunday and the different things, and I was praying and spending time with that. And when I went to bed, and I went to go into bed, and before I, you know, I walked in the bedroom and I, you know, was pulled the covers back. I was going to get in bed. And just as clear, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, March is the month of breakthrough. March is the month of breakthrough. And so when I went to the meetings down there, and I'm just going to read it to you. I have them back there. But this is what the Lord said down there. And, and one of the things that's interesting, what I did, see, as I wanted to go around and find out if anybody else God talked to about breakthrough in the meetings, I didn't find one person that God said anything to. Now that doesn't mean that but the Lord spoke to me concerning this thing of breakthrough. Well, on the 24th of March that evening, this was a prophecy that came through from Randall Greer. And he said this prophecy says, do not allow the world system encroach upon your life and your faith. Do not join them who talk doom and gloom around you. This is really an important time that you watch who you hang around with. You know, it is interesting because if you take Paul writing, Paul said, he talked about the end time the way people would get. And he said talked about the ones who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. They don't have a power of Christianity. They have a Jesus they said is alive, but he's dead. And it says what we're not supposed to do. It says you're not supposed to join yourself to them. And boy, we got a lot of dead Christianity today. We got a lot of Christianities running around and complaining. I learned years ago, don't bother praying for your nation. Don't bother praying for the president or anybody if you're going to turn around and just criticize after you're done praying. Sit around and talk about what you see going on. Don't bother praying. You're wasting your time and you're doing nothing but opening the door to the devil to do worse things. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The church don't believe that one either. We have all this stuff. We need to guard our mouths in these day and time. God desires to bring blessing. Somebody's got to stand up and say, hold it, we're going to go for the blessing. Now, I know people are going to get offended. You don't want to hang out with those the negative people. Well, just get over it. You know, I don't need friends that bad to destroy my nation. You ain't that important. I want you to know that. You're not as important as the Word of God is. You're not. You need to understand that. God's will getting done is the most important thing for this nation. Not my will, what I would like. It's His will is on the top of the list. We need to come to that. Hallelujah. Jesus wasn't raised from the dead so I could act like hell and still have a good life. It wasn't for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, do not allow the mold, he said, to speak that they try to put you in and say to you, you will not prosper or that you cannot go forward and that you cannot have my blessing in this day. See, you know, those voices are out there talking today. Oh, what the Democrats are going to do, the economy, we're all going to go. Everything's going to fall apart. Well, join the confession. You know what? I hope you get what your mouth says. Hallelujah. Don't do it. He said, do not allow those words to escape your lips, because in this time, you have entered into a brand new day. This is a day of breakthrough in your life. This is a time, a breakthrough in your church. This is a time of a breakthrough in your ministry. So you can declare and say, I'm breaking through to a brand new place this very day. Hallelujah. That's what I'm doing. And I'm going to tell you what. I am. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, for I, the Lord, have equipped you. I've watched over you. I have kept you. So even though it may affect those in the world, it will not affect you, because I will watch over you and I will take care of you, my people. So believe me this day, and don't get into a negative way and say, this is going to happen bad to me, or these things are going to happen bad in this way, or we don't know what we're doing. Going to do because of these things are going to happen, or the government is doing this, and the government is doing that, and the Congress is doing that. He said, remember this day, the Lord, you are, remember this, this is the Lord. He says, you are in my government. You are in my kingdom. You are my, in my kingdom rules over all, and I am going to take care of you, and I'm going to watch over you. So this is a time to rejoice, because I, the Lord, am with you, and I'm watching over you, and I will protect you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want to tell you what, God is a moving and working. Hallelujah. One of the things, I just want to encourage, you'll notice I've been talking about spending time in prayer, because one of the things that God has been really emphasizing with me is in the area, the church and most Christians are always praying behind. A problem comes and then they're praying, trying to get out of the problem. And one of the things that Kenneth Hagin had said years ago, he said concerning praying in tongues or another praying in the Spirit, he said if the Christian would do it an hour a day, he said they wouldn't face a lot of things in their life. There's a lot of things you wouldn't face. And why? You would pray those things out beforehand. And I found, spending time over in prayer, there's one thing, see, the job of the Holy Spirit is. See, some people, they don't believe in God talking. I don't believe God talks to people. Well, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, now this is Jesus, and I don't know, he may have lied about it. He could have. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would show us things to come. And he said he would speak to us. Huh. I've heard ministers, and I've heard big name ministers say that they didn't believe God talks to people, So I guess they believe Jesus is a liar. I don't know. Come on. Hallelujah. He talks to us. He reveals things. The Holy Spirit, God lives in me, and he's a deaf mute. Did you know? He's talking to us. He's showing us things ahead. He's revealing to us. He wants us, don't you? God wants you to have things prayed out before the problem comes. He don't want things arriving on you. See, this has been the great problem that happened with the COVID thing, is because of the lack of spirituality in Christians. The COVID thing came, the church didn't see it, the presidency with the election, they didn't see what was going on, they weren't paying attention. Man's following his plans and his ways. They haven't spent the time to pray out things beforehand. We keep waiting for the problems to arise and then go to prayer. And we need to understand this. You can go to a place sometimes where you wait too late to pray and you can't change it. Most things can be changed beforehand. Most things can, if you can pray beforehand. This is why, this is one of the great things that we have in the church, is being able to pray in other tongues. There's much has been revealed to me while praying in other tongues, and God comes and all of a sudden shows me things, and has showed me things I was praying about. See, God, it requires faith to pray in tongues. It don't require, you don't have to have any faith at all necessarily to pray what's in your head. Now, you can have faith to pray what's in your head, but it don't mean you do. Loads of people pray and ask God to do things, but have no faith that he's going to do it at all. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says later, and sometimes he says forget it, you ain't getting nothing. That's most of the church world. Just be glad I don't kill you tomorrow, that's God, He's going to take me, I had a nephew just say that to me. He's supposed to be a Christian, and I just told him a little bit. You know, he's only in his 40s, and he's going through a health problem. Maybe the Lord wants to take me now. And I said, what would the Lord want with you in heaven? I said, you can't do nothing here. What are you going to do there? I said, get your head out of the clouds and quit talking so dumb. I said, the Bible teaches things you can do to extend your life. Why would God tell you things to extend your life and tell you those things that you can do to extend life if He wants to take you early? Well, you know, God's in control. Well, as I always tell people, if He's in control, He has sure made a mess of things. And I tell you, God's controlling the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. He's controlling that? My God, what are we praying for? He's the problem. My God, we might be better off turning it over to the devil. Ah, my words. I'll tell you what, religion stays up at night trying to figure ways to be stupid. You know? Oh my. Hallelujah. The reason I pray to God, because He's the answer to my problems, not because He's the problem. Glory to God. He's the answer to my problems. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, there's just been wonderful things this week. I know there's a few times the Lord woke me up during the night and just praying. But on Friday night, I just want you to grab a hold of the compassion and love of God. I mean, it was like 25 after 2. I looked at the clock. I just do it when I wake up. I always just look to see what time it is. And Kenneth Hagin used to say the Bible says watch and pray. So okay, maybe I caught that from him. I don't know. But anyhow, you know, I was just laying there and I just started worshiping God. You know, I didn't feel like an urgency to pray, but it was just like I just worshiped Him and I was just laying there quietly. My wife's sleeping over there beside me, but I'm just worshiping God and praising Him. And the presence of God came over me. And I'm going to tell you what, it's like I've never had before in my life. God so wants to move in this earth. God and the church. You know, it's like riding down the road. And, you know, and the church, you know, is like the guys in, you know, they on TV, they put the brake on in the car and then they push the accelerator forward because they love to see the smoke. That's the church. The church just loves to see the smoke. They don't go nowhere. They don't get nothing. We just like to spin wheels like we're doing something. That's what they're doing. And that's what just reminds me of. It just reminds me of that's what the church is doing. But God's desire, His presence came over. I just thought, my God, what He wants to do for people, His compassion toward people, His view. It's like you want peace in your life? You ain't going to find it in the earth. Quit searching. Quit looking for somebody to give you peace. Quit looking for somebody to do for you what they can't do. They ain't God. Your mate ain't God. They can't keep you happy. You're too miserable for that. Don't push it over on them. I'll tell you, see, my wife needs me seeking God. And you wives, you know, your husband needs you seeking God. Always the demand on somebody else this is our country's in this mess. See, I had a message for today and I just thought it was going to flop. But our country is in a mess because let's get the government to fix it. That's why we look down at Washington when they're messing up. We have no peace. Why? Because they can't give you peace. Stop it. They don't have the ability. It's the ungodliness of the church. Looking to everybody and everything, trying to find peace. There's number one. I have to learn how to have peace in the middle of trouble. My success depends on me making wise decisions in time of trouble. My success demands it. And it can't be had if I fall apart when trouble comes. When trouble comes, I'm into my wringing my hands and worrying and all that. I can't go there. I had this week, I had a wonderful opportunity to wring my hands. I had a wonderful opportunity of things that happened that I could have, oh my God, what's going to happen now? I had things come along and it seemed like, well, what you're standing faithful, it ain't going to work. But there's one thing, as I said, as I talked to Wanda, I told when the thing came up, first thing I said to her, I said, it doesn't matter what comes up. I cannot be moved by what I see or what I feel. I said, I will not worry because worry is sin and I refuse to sin. I refuse. I'm going to tell you what, worry is a more deadly sin than most sins. And it's welcomed in the church world. It's even considered the worriers are some kind of spiritual people. Oh, they're sensitive. Yes, sensitive to the flesh. That's what they're sensitive to. And I said, the last thing I will do is worry about anything. I said, I can't do it and I refuse to go there. And I said, the only way that I can't go there, I must stay in faith with God. That's the only way. You know this when you're worrying, you just left faith. How could you trust God and worry about at the same time? You can't. You can't. Folks, I'm telling you by experience, I tried these things. They don't work. And I just said, I can't go there. I can't worry. And I refuse. I'm going to stay at peace. I said, there's one thing. Keep your mind stayed on Him. It says you'll have perfect peace. So I said, what I'm going to have to do is just keep my mind stayed on something. I'm going to have to shut other things off that I'm hearing around me. I'm going to have to shut that stuff off. Because I'm going to have to walk here, and my walk here must stay in the area of peace. Because there's no way that you're going to hear what God's saying when you lose peace. The noise of your mind will drown out everything in your heart God's trying to bring to you. Now, folks, I've had that. I've had the noise of my mind. I've had my mind so loud I couldn't hear nothing. I have been there, folks. I'm not criticizing. We go through that, but over time I learned, man, I can't live that way. You can't live that. I'll tell you what, you can't live that life. This is why so many people are depressed today at having problems, is because they don't know how to shut their minds off. And their minds just run and run and run and run. And it's, you know, and it does. Because there's only one way to do it. And that's become spiritual. And they ain't headed in that direction. They're headed in the direction of the noise. And every, you know, Gary, you go the direction of the noise, it gets louder. After a while, it overtakes you. It overtakes you. And all you hear is the noise. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I've heard enough noise. Hallelujah. And I've learned how to walk in peace, and I've learned how to, and I know how to listen to the noise. That's not hard to do. Isn't it amazing? That kind of stuff's easy. Why is that? So easy to listen to the noise. Hallelujah. It's all so easy, you know? Why does it seem so easy to hear what the devil's saying to you? Why does... Here God is living on the inside. But I want to tell you, you can come to the place where you can hear God easier than you hear the noise. But you're going to have to stay in a certain place to do that. You're going to have to stay in that place. And this is one thing is concerning His presence, is walking in His presence. We have a lot of ideas, and I am going to share with you. You know, last Sunday, we did a thing. We looked at Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, but we looked at the future because there's a future event that's taking place from that, where Jesus in the same manner returns and enters into Jerusalem, the triumphant King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and sets it, which leads to the millennial reign of Christ. And we talked about that, but I want to read from you there again because this is really a hugely important thing. You know, one of the things that I encourage you to do is learn from other people's mistakes. You know, most people don't pay any attention to other people's mistakes. And the things that they do wrong, you gotta learn from them. You know, Kenneth Hagin, I learned from his teaching because he said he learned how to do certain things. And he said, if you'll listen to my teaching, he said, you won't have to go through some of the things I went through if you'll listen. See, he learned things that, and so it's always wise to listen to people. He had a good saying one time. He said, you know, he said, even if a guy's a sinner and he's lived in this earth 80 years, he said, he's learned some things. Maybe you ought to listen to them. And most people, we don't do that today. We don't listen to anybody today. We have our own lives. I got my life to live. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll know how that's going to turn out. Anybody I've ever heard say that? It's never worked. So that was one thing I learned in life. Never follow those people that are living their own life. You got born again. You don't have your own life anymore. And if you're still living your own life, it's a good chance you ain't one of God's kids. It's a good chance you ain't one of His. Nowhere in the Bible tells you live your own. It says you're supposed to take up His cross. It didn't say take yours. Did you notice that? It's His. See, but now what He said, see, I can take His cross. Yeah, but oh my God, take it. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden's light. His cross is a good one. He did all the suffering to save me. I don't have to go to the cross. I don't have to die and go to hell and be raised from the dead again. That's been done. Hallelujah. But I can take up His cross. I can live the life He gave me. Hallelujah. I can do that one. Glory to God. But He said in verse 42, it says, this is Jesus. It said, he says, if you had known, this is He's speaking over Jerusalem, then the people. He says, if you have known, especially in this your day, He said, this is your day. This was supposed to be the time of great blessing for these people. The Messiah's here. This your day. He said, the things that make for your peace, they didn't know. They're heading down the road for such trouble they have never seen before in their life. But He said, I'm here. It's Luke 19, verse 42. Luke 19, 42. It says, for your peace, but they've been hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close in on every side, and level you and all your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. It's so important. Right now, we're living, we need to understand the day and time we live. See, there's different periods. We're coming down on the close of an age, and it's called the church age. We're coming down on the end of the church age. At the door lies the great tribulation. And then just a short period of years steps right over the millennial reign of Christ. And you know what? 99% of the church is living like we still got 50 more, 100 years yet to go. They're living that way. They're not drawing closer to Christ. A lot of Christianity don't want to even get much closer to Christ, you know. It's like, it's a hideout Christianity, you know. I'm a Christian and I just sort of do what I want, you know, and just cause I believe in Jesus, you know. It's not like that at all. It's number one, Christianity is based in love. And I learned this. Any person that hasn't learned this hasn't grown up spiritually yet. I serve God for others, not for myself. It's not for my salvation. My salvation's already secured. I serve for others. I serve for others. If you haven't got that, you don't even know yet about the love of God. Love will always try. God so loved the world, He sent Jesus to save Himself and let the rest of us just fight it out down here best we can. You don't have the love of God if it's a self-centered Christianity. I don't need the other saints. I don't need to hang around them. I don't have to be a giver into the kingdom. This has got to be broken in church. I don't want prosperity for Ed. I want prosperity because this age is about to end. And we need to finance the gospel of Jesus Christ and reach people for Jesus. And most of the church has no heart to reach anybody. They're just hand out hamburgers and hot dogs to people. That I'm doing good. If we just feed them, then are we ever nice? And we're sending people with full bellies to hell as quick as we can do it. But it is sore soothes our nice little conscience that we're good people. Ooh. Am I preaching to the right crowd? Is that an amen or an oh me? Hallelujah. See, you get in the presence of God and you start seeing His desire for humanity. It's not what the church world's doing today. The church world has a whole different program. God wants the fruit of the earth, not feeding programs. Most Christians are moved by their emotion. You show them a picture of a starving kid or a dog with a lame foot. And boy, I'll tell you what, you can get the Christians, my God, they'll get their pot wallets out and they'll just round, 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 round. And the ministry that shows you the picture may not even hardly be feeding anybody. Nobody checks out. I'm going to do my feel-good thing. I'm going to do my feel-good stuff. Well, glory to God. But I want to show you the condition. Israel's in a terrible condition. In 34 years from the time that Jesus was raised from the dead, Jerusalem was destroyed. Over 1 million Jews were killed by the Romans. And the Messiah had just been there. And their rejection of the Messiah had caused that. It was coming down the road and none of them saw it. Yet it's being preached in their face. We're in the same condition today. The truth is being put in the face of Christians and they don't want to hear the truth. They like their nice little me and Jesus messages. And he loves me and I'm okay. That's what they enjoy and that's what they love. That's what they love. We need to get over this thing. I'm going to tell you what, there's a desperation. The love of God hasn't changed one iota of what's going on in this earth. His love hasn't changed the desire to see people born again. He wants people in heaven. I'll tell you what. We haven't asked. We haven't walked in our authority. We have not asked for nearly what we should be asking. In fact, demanding. He is waiting for somebody to stand up and say, enough is enough of this thing. God, I'm coming after you. I don't care what anybody else is doing. God, I'm going to stand in my place of authority. We're going to see things turn around. How desperately do you really want to see things turn around? What would you, now I'm not talking about giving up bad things, but what would you give up of the things that you really enjoy doing to have a great revival? I have not seen people with that heart check. I haven't seen it. You know, I've had to do a lot of repenting. I'd say, Lord, boy, there's a lot of things that I can see that are good things doing. But for what really needs done, when I see his heart and I look at mine, I say, ooh, I need to take on more of his. I got to get more. And you know what? You will never get his heart. You can't get it from reading the book. You can only get it from his presence. See, we need to understand it. It's just like anything. A child could never develop a heart that the father or mother has without a close relationship. You can't send them a book about yourself to read and they get it. It can only come from being with them. You learn about a person's heart from being around them. You know, there's ministers that stand before us today that people shove money to like crazy. And you know what? They stand there and they preach all the right things, but that ain't their heart. Preaching the right things ain't the heart. You find out about, you're going to have to get in the spirit to find out what a person's spirit like. You got to get in close to a person to find out what they're really like. And how many times has it happened when somebody really got to know somebody, they didn't like what they found? They thought it was really good till they got close. Well, I want to tell you this. You take the time to get close to God, you will never be disappointed. You'll find out he's better than you thought he was. You thought he was good, you get in his presence, he's even better than you would have ever thought. You'll never be disappointed in his presence. It'll never happen. You know, I want to talk to you about something because now there was this morning Eileen read some scriptures, but I want to bring some points out about and using some of the scriptures because the disciples. I want you to think about this. We're here preaching this morning. This is a resurrection Sunday. And we're standing on this side. We read the book about it, you know. We read the stories. We know. We believe that Jesus is alive. You know, that's one thing you have to believe to get saved. You got to believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That's Paul. I think he was pretty accurate on the subject. We're going to take what he said. But you had to believe Jesus was alive. But we need to understand this, that this event, the greatest, now think about this, the greatest event in human history. I want you to understand this. And even before human history, we need to understand, the creation of heaven and earth was nothing compared to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was nothing. It was a nothing. The Bible, to go over to the Old Testament, it talks about God creating the earth and put the stars out there with his fingers. He formed, he talks about his hand was used to form the earth and different things. But the Bible says salvation was bought by the arm of God. The most power that God ever released was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The most powerful thing that ever happened. The most powerful thing that happened to Jesus wasn't his body came back to life. That had already taken place. People's bodies were brought back to life. They died again. But their bodies were brought back to life. So that wasn't number one. The number one great event was a spirit being went from spiritual death to spiritual life. That never happened. A spirit being went from spiritual death to spiritual life. That's what the new birth is. See, we talk about, well, you get saved, get your sins forgiven. You can get your sin forgiven and go to hell. You don't want your sins forgiven. You want the new birth. You want to, that's how you become a child of God. That's how you qualify for heaven. It's the new birth. It's going from death to life. And in Jesus Christ, all humanity, through faith, now can go from death to life. Spiritual death to spiritual life. A person who belongs to the devil, who has the DNA of the devil, becomes, their spirit becomes the DNA of God, and they become a child of God. Most phenomenal thing that ever happened. Boy, if that ever rings a bell in you, if you ever get that revelation that you were like, you know, we stop this just trying to live good. My God, we'd live glorious. We'd quit this living good junk. We would start getting over in a supernatural. We're designed for a supernatural life. That's what God gave us in Christ Jesus. Not to live a good life, to live a supernatural life. That's what we're called to. Is God's life a supernatural life? Well, if I have his life, then how could I just be called to be just live good? We're called to live supernatural. The church has thrown the supernatural out. They don't like the supernatural. We like the normal. Because why? People get offended at the supernatural. People don't like it. And I want people to like me. It's more important for them to like me than go to heaven. It's more important we have them as friends. Some people won't like it. They might even stone me. Don't worry about people today. They'll stone you when they say they like you. It doesn't matter. People like you one day and the next day hate your guts. It doesn't matter. I don't search for the approval of men or people liking me. I gave that up. It don't work. It don't work. See, we want to do that. But just think about it. The most supernatural event was about to take place, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And his own people are completely dumb on the subject. But why are they dumb? Have they not been told? Well, God wants me, because today we're dealing with this same thing. The message is going out, but people are not paying attention to the message, and they're not living. They're not listening. People are not paying attention. And the most glorious event is about to take place, and the most wonderful thing is going to happen for humanity. And they don't even know it. Let's look at Mark. Mark the 8th chapter, verse 27. I want to read to you here. Now listen to this. Mark the 8th chapter, verse 27, now says, now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked the disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? So they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say one of the prophets. Verse 29. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Now listen, here's Peter. Peter steps up to the plate. Man, he's up the plate. We're going to hit a home run here. We're going to have a home run. Listen, Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. In other words, you're the Messiah. That's who you are. I know who you are. Jesus then, he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. Don't tell people. You know this. This is a revelation for you. Don't tell anybody. Now listen, verse 31. And he began to teach them. Now listen, what did he begin to teach them? Teach them the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days raised from the dead. He began to teach it to them. What are they doing on Resurrection Day? He's dead forever. What are they doing? Now listen to this. Now look what happens. Look what Peter does. It says, he spoke this, he told them this. Jesus, now listen to this. Peter just said, you're the Messiah. And Peter spoke his words openly. You're thinking about smart enough to keep his mouth shut. Oh! Well, don't yell, because you've done it too. We've all done it. He says, and Peter took him aside and said, and began to rebuke him. No, see, this Messiah is a dumb guy. He don't really know. He needs to talk to me about this because I know the latest theology on the subject. I got the latest thing. He says, but when he had turned around and looked at the disciples, in other words, he heard Peter talking. You know what he did? He goes, and here's what's in his mind. Do you believe what this guy just said to me? He's looking at them like, do you believe this? This guy just said? And what does Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. How would you like Jesus call you Satan? I bet there's times he thought I acted out. He was just kind of didn't say it. He said, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Do you know what Jesus is talking about? You need to understand it. The theology of the day is the Messiah is coming back and he's going to deliver us from the Roman Empire. That was the theology of the day. Do you know? Because, see, they're having a hard time with this. If you read scripture, you find that the end times theology is the fact of an empire rising up that's going to be like the Roman Empire. That the Antichrist is going to use that empire. And there is the theology that is taught in scripture. Jesus comes back and delivers Israel from that empire. So what happens? They don't know the time and the season that they're living in. And they're following a theology for the future that is not what is happening now. This is one thing. You need to know now revelation, not just future. Many Christians are following the future and don't know the now. And they're missing what God's doing right now. This is a lot of Christians, they got a get out of town mentality. It ain't time to leave now. I'm going to tell you what, the gunfight is about to start. And I'm the gunslinger. And I'll tell you what, I'm winning this sucker. We're staying for the fight. I'm waiting till high noon. Most of the church, they ain't waiting. Let's get out in the morning. Let's leave. I don't want to face nothing. I want to face something. I want to look the devil in the eye and smile when I leave. I want to look at that and say, man, you in big trouble because Ed's coming back with Jesus. Oh, it ain't going to be pretty then. I'm going to shoot you now and help Jesus throw you in the lake of fire when I get back. It ain't going to get prettier. No, most of the people, let's just jump on the horse and ride out of town. Let's get out of here right now. You know, it's just like the old Western. All the cowards living in town looking for somebody to shoot up with a bad guy for them. That's the church. Riding out of town. God, send somebody to deliver me. Woo! Good preaching. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to tell you, we're the gunslingers. We ain't leaving town. The devil ain't taking my town. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what. He's going to be miserable till Ed leaves. Don't let him come and visit you because he's mad at me. Amen. Hallelujah. He comes to your house, you let him off. There's plenty of people he can go to. There's plenty of people with open arms who'll tell him to come on in. It's God's way of teaching me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know about you. I'm having fun. Anyhow, glory to God. But we need to see this. It's understanding the times. Jesus taught these people. Just think about it. We have in the same book, Mark. Mark writes again in Mark 11, verses 9 through 13. And it says this. Now, as they came down from the mountain, they had just been up in the mountain of transfiguration. It says, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they have seen till the Son of Man was risen from the dead. So he talked to them about the risen from the dead again. It said, and they asked, it said, so they kept this word to themselves that says, questioning, what does raising from the dead mean? Well, what do you think it means? What does it mean? Do you know, here's one thing that they didn't do. Remember when Jesus, I taught about when Jesus gave the parable of the sower? It said his disciples, those with him and the disciples came to him and said, what did you mean by that parable? He said, it's for you to know. He said, for them, the ones on the outside, I speak to them in parables. In other words, the people who don't come to find out the meaning. See, God is number one. It happens in the church all the time, in the church world. God gives a message to the minister, and people don't understand it, but they never try to find out what it means. Only disciples try to find out what things mean. They'll search to get it. See, most people aren't disciples. They just go through the religious motions. These guys didn't ask. Here they got questions, but they run and hide from. This thing didn't fit their theology, and they threw it out. It didn't fit that this was going to happen, the Messiah. It didn't fit. So they put a cancellation on that thing. And they didn't want to go touch it. Why? Because maybe this thing messes with our theology. And I like my theology. See, I want to get these nasty Romans on the church. I want to get these nasty Democrats. The same spirit. And you know what spirit that is? Antichrist. The church is messing with the spirit of Antichrist and yielding to it. Better stop it. This isn't about getting people. This is about help. This is joining up with our Lord, becoming a worker together with Him. This is about the saving of humanity. That's what this is about. We better change what we're doing. Hallelujah. So they wondered what that thing meant. Now, if we look at Matthew, Matthew wrote about this thing too in suffering, because Matthew in verse 16, chapter 16, verses 20 and 21. We have here, it says, then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. So Matthew records this again. And then he says, from that time, now look, this is what he says, from that time. So we know he didn't just teach him one time about it. From that time, he began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised from the dead. He began to teach them. He held classes for them. He held classes for them. He held classes on the subject. He began to teach them. It didn't say he just talked to them about it. He said he began to teach them. Now, in Luke 18, Luke says, here in Luke, this says, then he took the 12 in verse 31. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem. And all the things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. Now look, he's going to tell them, he's teaching them from the Old Testament. They don't have the New Testament. So he's showing them what the prophets have said. See, but that isn't their belief about the Messiah. They believed about the Messiah that was going to come and take over, the political Messiah. That's what the church has missed. We have been praying about the political scene, when we should have been praying about the spiritual scene. We have been more interested in God taking over government than taking over hearts. This has been a great problem in the church world. We're more interested in the politics. We're more interested in the political. See, they were interested in that. They were interested. They didn't like what the political was doing. They're focused on it. Yet the scriptures tell about the Messiah is going to come. Their real enemy wasn't Rome. Their real enemy was the devil. That's who their enemy is. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's our warfare. That's what we're fighting against. Not the church. The church is fighting people. The church got in a thing called praying to God, and it wasn't praying to God at all. It was trying to change the political without changing hearts. See, if we don't see this and understand this is what they wanted, a political change. The saving of Israel wasn't, you could have changed the political and all the heathen hearts in Israel would have had it back in a mess again. See, we need to see the importance. First things first, folks. You can change some hearts. I'll get to it. You can change a nation. Oh no, we can only change it through votes. The vote thing counts. Keep sending them money. I'll tell you, if they can just buy enough votes, if they can just get enough money from us to buy enough votes. Oh my. So Jesus is teaching them. He's teaching on them. Luke 18, he said, the 12 aside, he said in Luke 18, 31, he said, and it says, then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. Say, we're heading up there. All that's written in the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished, for he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and 30 days later he'll rise again. Now listen, wouldn't you think that they'd have heard those things, that would have rang a bell when all that stuff was taking place? This is just what he said. They heard nothing. I've watched people already sit in services, and I don't care how you try to explain things, they hear nothing. They have their beliefs, and they're going to stay with their beliefs. When they leave that place, they have not been moved or changed. I'll tell you something the Lord dealt with me. Too many Christians are just hard-hearted. That was what was wrong with the apostles. These guys walked with him and lived with him every day, slept where he slept, and he accused them of being hard-hearted. It says, but they understood none of these things. These saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things they were saying. Were they hidden because God, let me ask a question. Was God telling them things and then not showing them? Isn't that stupid? Is God speaking it, but he don't want them to know it? Because if God wanted them to, didn't want them to know it, then Jesus is one of the biggest frauds that ever hit the earth, because Jesus rebuked them for not believing in his resurrection. Jesus, how could he rebuke them if it was hidden from them? How could he rebuke them to not, because they didn't believe it? Well, Jesus perpetrated fraud. He's a liar and a fraud. Well, I'm going to tell you, last time I checked, Jesus has never been a liar and a fraud. They're the ones who rejected what was said. They rejected it. Mark 16, and we was read this morning in verse 9 says, now when he arose early, in verse 9 in Mark 16, so he arose early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. He says, she went, told them who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared to another two, it says, in another form, he said, two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at table and rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Now we could go on and read about it. It tells about they when they went to them, it says that they were weeping and mourning. The greatest event, the deliverance of all humanity, is gone, and the disciples are weeping and mourning, and they're hidden, it says, out from the Jews. They have fear of the Jews. They're going to come and get us too. Boy, that voice is going out in the church world today. They're going to come and get us too. They're going to pass these bills and they're going to come and get us too. Hallelujah. Let them come and get us. They can come and get me. You can all stay at home. I don't care. I'm going to preach the truth. I don't care what the bills do. It has nothing to do. My freedom doesn't lie in some stupid constitution. Amen. The Constitution of the United States don't uphold my freedom to preach the gospel. I'm told by Jesus Christ to preach. I'm tired of the constitutionalists, because the church has become but a bunch of constitutionalists basing their freedom to do what we do based on what the government says, because they have more faith in the American government than they do the Bible, and they lie about the Bible. I'm going to speak the truth, because if man doesn't hear the truth, no one can be saved. I am not waiting for the approval of a constitution. I don't care much about the Second Amendment. I ain't allowed to shoot people to get them to believe anyhow. So I'm tired of all this nonsense of what they consider as important. And it's not. We don't take the most important. I don't want people running around with guns that don't know Jesus and don't know what He's doing, because they'll do more harm than good. They'll fight for everything but the cause of Christ. Our forefathers of this nation had a much deeper, deeper conviction than the church does today. Much, their constitution, we don't even understand it today. Because they didn't have the same conviction about Jesus Christ that we, this weak conviction we got. They had a deeper conviction. They believed in seeking God. They believed in the government spoke it. They didn't have hideout Christians in the government saying they're Christians but would never raise voice about Jesus Christ. It's totally different people. I want to be like that kind of people. That's the kind of people I'm interested in. I'm interested. What came out of them was because of what was in them. Their constitution wasn't written for the people of today in America. The people of today of America can have no appreciation for it. The Constitution of the United States was written for a righteous people who weren't heathen, murdering babies and doing everything else. It wasn't written for a people like that. It wasn't written for the homosexual. It wasn't written for the lesbian. It wasn't written for every pervert. It wasn't written. Constitution, the fact of freedom of speech wasn't that I can say anything I want. My Bible does not give me the privilege to say anything that I want. They could have not meant it as people take it today. The courts are nothing but frauds and lies. Pushing and promoting things that are evil and wicked. I don't go along with the so-called conservatives and things and their ideas of freedom of speech, because half of them shouldn't be saying stuff they're saying. They have used their mouth to do nothing but ridicule, run down, and everything else. That's not what we're called to do. My Constitution is founded in the Scripture. And I must walk and follow the basis of the love of God. And I can't run around just saying anything. You can't say it all. You just don't go down. Well, I have freedom. I don't care what you have freedom to say. Your freedom to say will probably kill you early in life. The devil will probably have you. See, I know this ain't the most popular preaching, and I had no plan on it. But I'll tell you, it's a good resurrection service, because I want to tell you this. God wants us to start living in resurrection. And we can't live in resurrection following what's been going on. Only with resurrection, only with the principles founded in Pentecost will the church succeed and glory will fall. An angel appeared to John G. Lake in a place today called Portland, Oregon, where the devil has overrun and ruled. And I will tell you why the devil overran and ruled. It's because of the Church of Jesus Christ and their backslidden condition. John G. Lake, because of him and people of prayer, kept the devil, because the devil wanted to overrun Portland, Oregon before that. An angel appeared to him. One night he couldn't sleep. John G. Lake got up and walked out. They had a park there. I've been in the park and seen where John G. Lake's home was. And in that park, he was walking, and he went out for a walk. He took his Bible, and he went out for a walk, and he saw in a distance a light. And he started walking toward where the light was. He wasn't sure exactly what it was, and it turned out to be an angel. And an angel came up to him and spoke to him some things and showed him, took him on a little trip around the world to show him what was going on. He showed him the condition of churches. The angel had three different kinds of wreaths. One of them was a black wreath, a pink wreath, and a white wreath. And the black wreath was thrown on churches that were failing, that failed to follow Christ. The pink leaves were the churches that were doing good, and the one that was good, he went over and he said he got caught up in the spirit, and he went over to China and he saw a missionary and his wife and children dead on the ground. He said, these people gave their all. And he said, when he pulled he took that wreath out, he said, the tears turned into diamonds, and the diamonds covered them. And he said, this is the people God loves who give their all. Then we have knucklehead ministers. I've heard them preach, well, you know, you don't have to give your life for the gospel if you really know how to use your faith. And hear stupid things like that. People who know nothing about nothing. I want to thank God for the people that gave up everything. I believe I'm in the kingdom and I stand where I can because somebody gave up everything. Somebody was willing. Somebody was willing. There's people. This Bible we hold today. Tyndale died. He was killed, burnt to death because of printing Bibles. People who did what they did to have these, and we turn around. You know, we have 47 versions of them, and hardly ever read one. Read a couple little scriptures out of it every day, a little bit, and just act like we did something. I'm going to tell you what I've done. Run into the guy who wrote it. Hallelujah. And that's the glory of that thing. Because that will give you the path to get to the guy who wrote it. I don't care how much you read the book. The book will never become value to you till you run into the guy who wrote it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. That thing will come alive and you'll take running spells every day. You'll be excited about that thing. It won't be a thing that you just read through your little daily reading thing. My daily reading. I want to tell you what, that thing's the life of God. And those words are spirit and life, the Bible says. My God, we ought to treat it as such. Treat it in that manner. But anyhow, he told him about it. But this angel appeared to him. And the angel went to leave. The angel talked to him. And he said, the angel. Now, back in that day, the angel was grieved about the direction the church was going. Was grieved. And I thought, oh my God, what would be the grief today? What would be the grief today if it was grieved then? See, these things grab my heart. I just sit and look and I say, oh my God. And he said, basically what he said in words that they used and, you know, we don't use today. But he said, what ideal do we bring to people? He said, to bring revival, that we could have revival. Now, John G. Lake knew about revival. John G. Lake had the healing rooms in Spokane, Washington, where it was recorded and documented over 100,000 people were healed who doctors had given up on. They had, and in fact, in those years, the United States government said Spokane, Washington was the healthiest city in the United States. But see, those people, one of the reasons is they knew about prayer. They knew just about faith. Those people understood faith, but they knew about prayer. They knew about taking a hold of things when their faith would only go so far. Your faith only goes so far, folks. You need to understand. Your faith reaches out. But when faith only carries to a certain point and you want to see what you can do beyond, you're going to have to push into that. And we don't have that in America today. We're trying to do everything by confession. And we don't know what to do when something ain't working. We don't know what to do about it. So nothing ever gets done. Nothing ever changes. But he said, what do we do? And he said, the angel walked up and took his Bible from him and opened to the second chapter of the book of Acts and started reading down through it, dealing with Pentecost and all the miracles. And he said he went through the book of Acts to all the miracles and everything, read it to him. And he said, this is the ideal. He said, that brings revival. Then he said, pray for this. Pray, pray, pray. He said, pray to God. Get into God's presence. He said, this is the only way. See, we need to hook up with God. If I only, you know, it's like you giving me a book of George Washington. You can tell me facts and figures about George Washington, but I can never really know George Washington. I can know things he did, but I can't really know him. See, I don't care how another person knows somebody. You have to have a relationship with them to really know them. You have to. Because everybody has relationships on different levels. You can get to know my wife about things, but I'll guarantee you, you'll never have a relationship I have with her. You'll never know about her like I know about her. And I still love her. And she still loves me. That's an incredible thing. That's right. We still love each other. Isn't that amazing? You know why? Because we know each other. See, I know my wife's heart. Don't matter about what everything else is going on. I know my wife's heart. And I love her. See, too many people, they don't, it's surface. It's all surface stuff. It's all surface things. The Bible, for most Christians, is a surface thing. It's just a surface thing. You know, since this past year, man, it's almost like I got born again. When people were wailing about what all's going on and complaining and griping about the election and doing all their fighting and fussing, I've been in the face of God. I started at the end of 19, and I've been after this thing. And I'm going to tell you what, if you want to change life, there's only one way to have it, and that's in the face of Jesus Christ. You cannot get in His presence and it not change you. There's things that I desired to change that have changed. And you'd ask me, how did you change them? I can't tell you. They changed. I just got in His face and I got in His presence and that presence. See, you can't get into God's glory because you can't get into His presence without getting into the glory. And that glory changes you. And that's what the Bible's talking about. Change from glory to glory. If you haven't gone to a glory, you ain't going to another one. It's change from glory to glory. And every time I get over in a glory, I find, my God, there's something about me that changed. I can't put a finger on what I did. But I got into His presence and it changed me. It changed me. It did in me things that I wanted to do for a long time. Confession never worked. I got into His presence and say, well, why is that? I don't know. I ain't questioning it. What I started to do is keep going back to the glory. Just keep moving back to the glory. I don't care. I don't need an explanation. I need a change. The people who always need an explanation, they need to understand. I'm going to tell you, intellectualism has been the death of the church. It has killed the move of God. Most of the major ministers that came out of the glory of the what we call the charismatic renewal and all that stuff, all of them became educated, they became smart, and killed the power of God through their ministries because they organized it to the point that God cannot move anymore. He can't move among the regular people anymore. They're silent with their tongues. You know, we don't do it. I remember they did it on TV. Not today. You never hear. They don't do this stuff because, boy, we don't want to, it'll offend people. They might not like that. We don't want to have too much glory showing up. We like to have this. I mean, no, let's get a good flashing lights in the background and sing some songs. And yeah, let's get there. Maybe get a couple of smoke machines. And now we really got it. And boy, I'll tell you, Jesus, you know, we can't get the glory. So let's fake it, you know. And that's what we come to. We come to a show. It's a show. I'm going to tell you what, I've had it up to here with the show. Because the show doesn't bring anything. Everybody wants to see something. You know what I want? I want to believe something. Amen. That's what I want to do. I want to believe something. I want to believe something that's true. Hallelujah. When men will walk in faith and follow after their faith, God will reveal Himself. We're going to take communion here this morning. Our communion, it's a God that's real. This isn't some fake stuff. The Bible says, by His stripes we were healed. As soon as the wounds had cut in, it says we were healed. It's talking about physical healing. I was not healed spiritually to get born again. I was changed. I was born again. God didn't heal a sinner. He don't heal sinners. He turns sinners into gloriously righteous people. That's what God does. Religion, oh, he just cleans you up, you dirty pig. And now you're still the dirty pig, but God says he likes you now. You cannot become a child of God just forgiveness of sin. It can't happen. You must be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. He didn't say you must be forgiven. Did he say that? Didn't say that. But it's preached. You got to get your sins forgiven. I'm sorry, Jesus already did that. He took my sin on the cross. What I'm supposed to do is thank him for that. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ turned a scumbag into the righteousness of God. Hallelujah! See, we ought to be shouting. But the church world has been so quiet. We've been so... I'm going to tell you what, you people are too reserved. You know what's a lot of your problem? You know the Bible. Go read the Bible about Israel. They got... In Jerusalem, they got shouting so loud it said the nations around them heard them. You can't even hear the church if you had all the windows open. You can't hear them standing outside the window. It's a dead place. We believe in God and we ain't thrilled. We're born again children of God, full of the Holy Ghost, and we're not thrilled. Hallelujah, I'm thrilled. God did for me what no one else could do. Glory to God. If we ain't happy about it, what on earth do you think they care about it? You know, you go act dead for... Jesus loves you. You know, Jesus loves you. Say, my God. Say, I wish he'd quit. Say, did he give you that face? Say, my God. I'm going to cast that devil out of that thing. Hallelujah. We're children of God. See, we're supposed to rejoice in the Lord always. What if we really meant that when Paul wrote it? Rejoice in the Lord when everything's gone real good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got to get the shout back in the church again. You don't get in these presents, you won't shout. Because religion's full of death. There's a lot of sadness in religion. And it'll keep you there. It comes to the place. Hallelujah. The joy must come back to the church again. Hallelujah. We must be victorious once more. Hallelujah. We're the triumphant church. Jesus Christ triumphed over death and hell for us. And he has given us the victory. We're not trying to defeat Satan. I don't have to ever try to defeat Satan. I don't ever have to try to defeat sickness or disease. It's already been defeated in Christ Jesus. My job is this. It's just like in the Second World War. You know, when the United States beat Germany and the United States and the Allies, but the United States licked the Japanese. When they sent MacArthur over there with troops after the war, he wasn't there to defeat Japan. Japan was defeated. But he was over there. He was the guy who kept order and that stuff and kept them in their place of what they were supposed to be. They're a defeated enemy. That's what we are in the earth. The Church of Jesus Christ is not trying to lick the devil. We're not trying to do the thing. We are already victorious. We're the occupation army. That's what we are. We're the occupation army. To keep at peace the devil in the earth. To hold him at bay till God's work gets done. That's the role of the church. No, the church has been trying to fight. We've been fighting political battles. We've been fighting this. We're fighting that. You know, we're doing all these things. And the devil has run rampant and controlled what mostly goes on. We haven't stopped and said, hold it, devil, you're defeated. That's the end of this. When I, in the name of Jesus, it said, I cast out devils. It didn't say, I politely ask them to leave. You throw them out. Amen. We've been scared of the devil. He rises up and we run in fear. Something comes knocking on the door that causes bad problems. And people, oh, hurry up and pray. Wow, they already believe it's all going to go wrong. They don't stop and say, hey, hold it. We put a stop to this thing right here. That's why it's so hard to pray for people. Because they plan on losing and they want you to get the win for them. But they're planning, they already threw the trophy away and gave it to the other team. And they're planning on going under saying, you pray and get me the trophy back. Well, so I can't get you to shut up and sit down and act right. I can't get the trophy back. Because it's your trophy he took. He didn't take mine. He knows better. He ain't getting the trophy. Jesus said, I triumphed. I got the victory. Hallelujah. I'm the winner. Glory to God. It stays on. And I ain't got it. I don't have it sitting on a mantle somewhere. I carry it with me to show the devil. Say, see what I got? Hallelujah. You get to look at it, sucker. You see the name on it? It says, Jesus, you're in trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the victorious church. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you, I just go, I done preach me happy. And I tell you what, I can do. Glory to God. There's an anointing here, ain't there? Hallelujah. But you're the victorious church. That's what Jesus is coming back for. He's not coming back for the old haggard whore that the church has been. He's coming back for a victorious church. That's us. Hallelujah. He's coming back for a people. He can't wait to get them where he's at. I tell you what, he's anxious. And he is anxious. He is looking for the day. Glory to God. He's going to take these champions out of the earth. And the champions are going to go live with him. Hallelujah. When he comes back to the earth, he's bringing all the champions with him. You understand this? When Jesus comes back to earth to rule and reign, he has to bring the church. We're his body, folks. The head don't go without the body. Once he got the body with him, that's it. The body's with him forever. Hallelujah. Forever be with the Lord. Remember that he said? Ever be with the Lord? And that's the way it is. And the church comes back with him. Hallelujah. To rule and reign with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The perfected church with their new bodies, glorified like Jesus Christ. An ageless people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like their master. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah! We come back down this earth. What, you know, it's like people, I come back and we're going to try to fix things up. You know, there is so much small-mindedness in the church and the ideas. You know, earthly thinking. Hallelujah. We're not going to be earthly anymore. Hallelujah. Glory. Woo! You know, I'm going to tell you what, the 7 years tribulation is going to seem like 15 minutes to the church. And I'm serious. In heaven, that's what it's going to seem like. And the 1,000-year reign, that was about, you know, that's probably going to be a 45-second job, you know. I'm serious. It's not time, because time will have no more relevance to us. That's why you can't read the Bible and think earthly. The Bible is to bring heavenly knowledge and the knowledge of the glory of God to man. The parables weren't earthly teaching. They were earthly examples to show you what the heavenly's like. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Oh, my, 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 my. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you resurrected? Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, we don't have to wait. I'm serious. One of the things that prophecies have said, Brother Hagin prophesied it, I've heard others say, about the fact of that resurrection power of God and its manifestation on this side before the church leaves. I'm going to tell you, we're going to live in resurrection. I'll tell you, I've already touched into it. See, I'm going to tell you what, I've already crossed over in some things. I've already touched over in some things. And I'll tell you, I'm going to touch further. I'm going to touch over, touching more over into the heavenly, over in the areas of life. Glory to God, touching into the life. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But before we have communion, I'm going to do this. Alan, I want you to come. I saw myself minister to you, and in fact, twice this week. And I want you to come up here. I want to minister. I'm just going to do what I saw. I saw myself ministering to you, so I'm going to do it. I'm just going to obey what God told me to do. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 God got some major plans for you. God has some major things for you. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's been distractions along the way, and that's what they've been, distractions. You know, you don't, things that happen sometime to us in life, it isn't because, let's say, we're doing things wrong. Sometimes because we're doing things right.
Right.
See,
Amen.
The enemy looks and sees how things would turn out. Mm-hmm. He sees the way that things would be. And so he goes to work to try to stop those. That's why many times with people with certain, especially if major anointings, God is moving a person into something, there's things that they run into and face. See, the devil, because my parents, they went to churches that didn't know how to do with anything. You know, they were good Christian people, but they knew nothing about the Spirit. They weren't taught it. Right. And you know, God had called me to a place to stand in ministry, and the devil did everything he could to ruin my, for 30 years to ruin my life. That could have all been stopped. But they didn't know how. They didn't know how. So things happened in my life. And dumb Christians would say, well, that was just God's working. God, well, that was the devil trying to steal, kill, and destroy my life. That's what it was. And people didn't know. But I want to tell you, don't you worry about none of it anymore.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You throw it aside. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God's working in you. And don't let the things around that, you know, there's many things. They're temporary. They're temporal problems. And that's all they are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because there's an eternal way to glory.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. And that glory is coming on you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for the glory. Right now in the name of Jesus, working in him.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord God,
thank
that you're strengthening
you.
Him with might in his inner
thank
man.
You,
right now in the name of Jesus. Strengthen
yes,
him. The
Father,
inner
God.
Man is strong
you,
in the Lord
thank
and in the power of his might.
You,
in the name of Jesus. Father,
amen.
I thank
Hallelujah.
You. I thank you, Lord God. You're
thank
bringing
you.
To pass in him the
amen.
Things, Lord God,
thank
that you've
you.
Set before him. Lord God, yes, devil, you shut your mouth.
Yes,
you have
Lord,
nothing
you
in this in the name of Jesus
amen.
Christ.
No,
I thank you, Father
amen.
God. Hallelujah. He will fulfill your
yes,
plans
will,
and purchase.
Lord,
he will carry them out. And
yes,
Jesus
I
Christ
will
be glorified and magnified
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Well, I just wanted to obey God. God wanted me to minister to you, and I just wanted to obey that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Eileen, I want you to come. Hallelujah. I want Eileen to come. There's some things that I saw one night and then I saw it again last night. As I was praying, I saw it again. So I just want to obey that. Darlene, I want you to come. Put your hands on her side here where her kidneys are. Put your hands there in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for your dynamic, wonderful healing power in the name of Jesus. Father, you're the God of life. You're the God of life. You're the God of life, and I want to thank you, Lord God. I speak life to those kidneys in the name of Jesus. I speak life, and I thank you for life. Life! Life to them in the name of Jesus. Life is working mightily. The life of God is working mightily in the name of Jesus. Death is defeated in the name of Jesus, and life reigns in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Life reigns. Life reigns. Life reigns. Life reigns. Life reigns. Life reigns. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rose, come up. Come up, Rose. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I'm going to ask you to turn this way because I'm going to put your hand on Rose's, on her back, on her spine, on her spine. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you. I speak in the name of Jesus. I speak, Lord God. Hallelujah. Life. Life right now in the name of Jesus. I speak life. I speak resurrection life. Hallelujah. To this back in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I thank you. Life's a working. Life is working. Life is working. Life is working. Wholeness. Soundness. Soundness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Life reigns. Life reigns. Life reigns in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Death is defeated. Death is defeated. Death is defeated. Death is defeated. Robert, come on down here. Come down here. Hallelujah. 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 I'm just gonna obey the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what's going on there. What's going on, you and concerning your health?
My eyesight, it has been getting better, but it's not.
Okay.
I cleared, and also my teeth, because before I don't have my teeth.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I do have something. It's some kind of growth. I don't think it's very bad, but that's on my leg. So
on your leg.
So when I really prayed tonight, say, for I want a full body healing because, you know, that's
Hallelujah.
What I'm after. Because that's what.
Well, let me say this. Concerning your teeth, you need a miracle. Healing won't do it. Your teeth don't need healed because you don't have them. So you can't heal.
Well,
you couldn't heal.
Yeah,
so you, but we can.
No,
but you know what the word tells us what to do. The word gives us exactly what to do. It says if two agree is by touching anything they ask, it shall be done.
Amen.
See, we can demand a miracle.
Amen.
See, we can demand a miracle. We can demand a miracle.
Right.
Do you know that? We can demand a miracle. Glory
right.
to God. That's what we can demand, a miracle.
Right.
See, and that's why we can demand a miracle. See, it's one thing to stand with the Bible, really, in giving us, telling us we're to agree, we can step into the realm of the miracle. See, which is outside. See, the healing power of God won't do anything to the teeth. It won't
right.
do anything.
Right.
Hallelujah. But see, we can believe for a miracle. Hallelujah! I'm going to agree with you for a miracle.
Right.
You want a miracle?
Right.
Hallelujah! See, your eyesight and that thing, they can get healed. Right. See the healing power. But that we're going to agree on for a miracle. First of all, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for health in this body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. The same spirit that raised Jesus from dead, the resurrection spirit of life is in him in the name of Jesus. Resurrection is working in him in the name of Jesus. Resurrection life in his eyes and his leg in the name of Jesus. He's healed. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, life is working mightily in him in the name of Jesus. And Father, I agree with him in the name of Jesus concerning his teeth. Lord God, he wants a miracle. And Lord God, I'm going to agree with him for a miracle. Hallelujah. God, this isn't your first trip around. This is nothing's too difficult for the Lord. The word says so. Glory to God. I want to thank you. A miracle's working in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. We agree, and it's done in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power of agreement's a powerful thing. The power of agreement, you can step into anything. Anything. Isn't that wonderful? You can step into anything. Anything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, because of your great concern and love for people. Hallelujah. Lord God, you care. You care so much and for us, Lord God. And Lord, you just didn't say, oh, you poor old thing. Lord God, I want to thank you that Jesus took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. I want to thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. I thank you, Lord God, for healing power. I thank you, Lord God, it wasn't enough that you said and did that, because surely that would have been enough, but you put the same spirit in us that raised Jesus from the dead, and the scripture says that that same spirit will make alive our mortal bodies. I want to thank you, lest I check my body's mortal, Lord. I want to thank you for life that's working in this mortal body, speaking life right now. Life is running through our mortal bodies right now. Not death, but life in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.